you may be going, if you're a younger person here, through a transition of age, new opportunities opening up before you as you leave teens behind and go into adulthood. How do you react to a new challenge? If you know and love the Lord and God is calling you particularly to leadership, how can you be the destination to where you want others to arrive? And I think this is where Joshua is so helpful for all of us. I mean, I think it's relevant for the Zaman family, but for all of us, if you're in a time of transition, but even if you're not, so open up your scriptures, Joshua 1, and I'm reading verses 1 to 9. Joshua 1, and I'm reading verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you for the truth of these words. Thank you that the same God who guided Moses for many years and through many challenges with the people through the wilderness is the same God who led Joshua to occupy the land, to take leadership. The same God who will lead the Zaman family. The same God who is our God, who will be our God, as the psalmist says, to the very end. Help us, we pray, help us never to take your word for granted. You certainly said to Joshua that he ought not to do that, and that he should turn your word over and over and over again in his heart and in his mind. Make us such a people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if I get my facts straight, it was about 28 years ago that a young lady came over as a missionary, not realizing that she would meet her husband in this very church, a good church to meet a spouse, by the way, and then have two blessed children, and then go as a family to France. And it is a reminder to me, as I've reflected on the events of the last month, that we're always on mission. When it comes to global missions, some of us are senders, others may be goers, but whether you're a goer or a sender, if I could condense this message into two words, it would be the words, go boldly. Go boldly. We know the Lord is in this. But I would be surprised if there wasn't just a little trembling in the Zaman family, just a little. Courage doesn't mean that we are never afraid. And I want you to think of Joshua. Do you realize that at this stage he is in his 80s? He's in his 80s, but with the heart, I think, of a 30-year-old. He's seen a lot. He's experienced the presence and the power of the Lord three times as he's standing. They're about to take the land. Three times, be strong and courageous. Go, but go boldly. Now, just try and put yourself in the situation. Moses has died, so the book begins with a funeral. And there's been intense grieving in the chapter before this in Deuteronomy. The people are distraught. I mean, you can imagine no one, Deuteronomy 34 verse 12, has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. What an act to follow. What do you do when the servant of God dies Now you've got to lead the people into the promised land, and there's a raging river in between. What do? Two reasons that Joshua was bold, and I think these are the same two reasons that you can be bold, Patrick and Denise and family. And if you're going into transition, you can be bold too. Be bold, God is saying, because I am behind just this moment. One of the things that transition does is it forces us to reflect. It's not a bad thing. I think Denise has been clearing out the basement. And, you know, some of us have had to learn technology as we go on, but we still have photo albums, right? And we open these old photo albums, and we see people, and we see relationships. And it reminds us what God has used to mold us to be the people that we are. And Joshua had at least, I'm not going to go through them all, but he had at least seven experiences with God that shaped him for just the time when he's standing where he is. The very first time we come across Joshua is in Exodus 17. It's after they've crossed the Red Sea, and the excitement's over, and reality is setting in, and the people grumble against God, and Moses strikes the rock. You remember that. And immediately after this, there's a battle. And who's chosen to lead? Very young at that stage, Joshua. Big task. And you remember what happens. Whenever Moses was on the hill and lifted his staff, the Israelites were winning. Whenever he lowered his staff, the enemies were winning. What did Joshua learn about God? The very same thing that you will need, Patrick and Denise and family. Things that we all need. The need for the supernatural power of God. Not by might. Not by power, not by skills, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We praise God for Michelle and the 30 years God entrusted him to open doors. But I think what's important to get is that it's not skills that win the battle. It's never been like that. You just read through the story of the Bible. When you're relying on God's wisdom, you can go boldly. But it's not just how you go into what God has called you to do. It's the very way you go. Or if you like, your heart before God. The next time we see Joshua is when he's with Moses on Mount Sinai, Exodus 24. Just before this, he's been joined by 70 of the elders for a special event. We had a special event the other day. The elders got together for a meal together. That's what they had on Mount Sinai, meal together and a time of worship. But long before Joshua is called, God is shaping Joshua, because Moses says to Joshua, you come up with me further. And then he leaves Joshua at a point, and he goes right up to the top of the mountain on his own. What did you learn, Joshua? Well, there were times during those 40 days when I was on my own where I wondered, what am I doing here? And then I realized that before God sends, there are often times when he says, wait. Wait and be still. And be still. And know who I am. I know that you, Patrick and Denise, in the midst of all this change, I know that you've been saying to the Lord as a family, and it's a real, I think it's an encouragement for us. I want to do more of that in my own life. You've been saying, grow me, teach me patience and trust, so that when I come down from the mountain, I'm prepared for whatever valley, whatever mountain may be ahead for me to climb. Joshua is in battle. Joshua is prepared in battle. Joshua is prepared on the mountain, but God is always at work. So a little time later, Joshua is prepared at the tabernacle. And now I wind you to the time after he and Moses have come down from the mountain and they've seen the golden calf. Think of the impact that it had on this young leader, where he realized that there is only one God who is to be known, only one God to be proclaimed among the nations, and that is the God of Israel. And just after this, Moses takes him into the tent of the meeting. The Bible says in Exodus 33 that the pillar of cloud settles on the entrance. And we read Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide, his young companion Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. I wonder if at that moment Joshua, whose name means God saves, I wonder if that was the moment when Joshua said, Moses is not always going to be around. I wonder whether he realizes that when he leaves that tent, it must not be with anything less than the presence and the guidance of God. Not by might, not by power, by the Spirit, by the presence, by the guidance of God. I knew a little bit of what God was doing with Patrick, even before the elders, because he shared that with me. And it is not true that I tried to convince him not to stay. Because, of course, we want to be a going and ascending church. But part of the problem when it comes to transition, I think, is we're tempted. I know I've been tempted to try and outguess what God is doing. I like the way Peter Lewis puts it, and maybe you can identify with that. When you sense that God is up to something, he says God begins to unfold his plan for us. He takes us to point A and we're surprised, and he takes us to point B and we're pleased. Then he takes us to point C and we're delighted because we can see what's happening. And in our zeal for him, we can try and rush on to point J and K and L, and then everything falls apart and we have to be gently but firmly taken back to point D. All that God wants of you, Simon family, all that God wants of you and all that God wants from each of us is that we follow God's will one step at a time. One step at a time. Today and tomorrow. Future grace will be there for every decision. God was at Rephidim showing Joshua his power. He was at Sinai teaching Joshua trust. He was in the tent of meeting showing him how much he needs the presence of God. And then, of course, Joshua was one of those, do you remember, who went into the promised land with the 12 spies. How many of the spies came back with a positive report? Two. And one of them was Joshua. Joshua, prepared now for the moment by having trusted God in the past. Now, today we're not burying anybody like the people of God buried Moses. But I think there's a sense in which there's some loss, and it's good to admit that, and yet our loss is the gain of the other part of the church, as Patrick reminded me, our persecuted brothers and sisters. We're glad with you, Jean-Luc, and the board of Porte Ouverte. We're so glad that you have someone on your team, a family on your team that can link arms with you in the strategic work that you are doing. And I think what it does for us is it causes us to pray even more and more fervently for the work in which you do and for your encouragement to others. Be bold. Be bold. If you're facing a transition, be bold, God says. I'm just behind this moment. But then he says, be bold, and I will be briefer. I am fully ahead of this moment. This is so personal to me, and I mean, you know this. If you don't yet know the Lord, what's wonderful with walking with the Lord is not just the surprises that come into your life, but this sense of companionship that your God knows you. And here is God, and it's so personal. And what does he say? I mean, there's all this uncertainty. I don't think Joshua is thinking, I'm the man for the moment. I'm the guy. I think he's wrestling with uncertainty, which is why he's reminded three times, be courageous. And God doesn't say to him, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then you must wait. He doesn't say, Moses, my servant is dead. You must weep. He says, he's dead. Now go for it. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to you. And I think that's so helpful for all of us. Go boldly, God is saying, with the weakness that you feel. Sometimes as believers, we can be overconfident in ourselves. And I think anyone who goes into any stage of Christian leadership understands how much they need the Lord. If they don't, they are in trouble. We're in trouble. Here is the great I am. And he's the one who says, go. And it encourages me that God is not bound by personality. We live in a day of self-analysis and all kinds of tests to see if you are the right person. God doesn't dialogue with Joshua. Let me examine how you're wired before I move you on. Just go and be strong. You weak. But the more you get into this and the more you see your weakness, the more you'll get over that and trust in me. I wind forward a couple of centuries to 30 years after Jesus has died and risen. Who did God send out of Jerusalem? Who were the first missionaries? Regular people. People like you and me. They didn't have any tests that they had to write. The Gentiles who came to faith in Antioch were not converted by apostles. They were converted by normal Christians in the midst of persecution. We must make the name of Jesus known. So persecution is a storm that's not outside of God. Persecution is something that God often allows to scatter the seed of his word and to send the sower and the reaper over many fields. And God works with weak people. James Hudson Taylor died in 1905. Many of you know he was greatly used in China. His parents prayed before he was born that God would use James. Problem was he always had poor health. Despite that, he would go on to spend 51 years in China. China Inland Mission was founded. He was responsible for recruiting 800 missionaries who began 125 schools, resulting in 18,000 conversions. And it was a sense of the man's own weakness that made him more courageous, because he understood how weak he was. I used to ask God to help me, he says, but then I asked if I might help him by asking him to do his work through me, even through me. Bless you that you made that same prayer to God. Go with the inadequacy that you feel, but then go boldly with the word in your heart. I mean, why would we go? Why would we even think of attempting anything if we didn't have God's word in our heart? Look at verse 8. Keep the book always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it, which is why we love the word. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Literally, the text reads, Joshua, mutter over, meditate over this Torah document day and night so that you may be careful to do all that I say in it. I think this is a word to all of us, because we are getting busier in life and more pressure is getting on. And very often we are tempted to lay aside what the persecuted church brothers and sisters are not laying aside, what they're hungering for. My takeaway from the life of Joshua is that who he was and the person that he was who he was because he was focused on one thing, obeying the word of God, whatever the cost. Now, Patrick and Denise, we've observed your lives amongst us. Some people here, you've observed them for over 20 years. Others of us, a little bit less. And what we've seen, and I'm saying this to give God the glory, is we've seen a disciplined family who've seen the relationship between the diet of the word and standing strong. And that should encourage you, because all your years, whether you're aware of it or not, of storing the word, all the messages you've heard, the Bible you've studied, it's like background noise in your life, which means that when the trials come, which they will, and the challenges are on, all you got to do is turn up the volume and then watch what God does. Someone has said that the best thing to do with the Bible, I hope that we don't come here and this is the only diet that we get during the week. I pray that. The best thing to do with the Bible is to know it in your head, to stow it in your heart, to sow it in the world, and then to show it in your life. And I'll end with this. Go boldly because you're going with a leader who's far greater than you. I mean, none of us are Joshua's, called to a specific task. None of us are called to do what the Zamans have been called to do. Maybe I shouldn't say none, because God may be working in your life and we may be sending somebody else in the not-too-distant future. But there is something that we share in the transitions. We have the same power that enables Joshua, the same word that equips Joshua, and the same captain who fights for him. And I say that because of what I read in Joshua chapter 5. Now they've crossed over the Jordan, and their enemies are trembling, and the hearts of the enemies are melting with fear. And while they're on their way to Jericho, another battle, Joshua sees a man with a drawn sword. Who's that man? Are you with us? He says, or with them? And the reply comes, neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. No wonder Joshua took off his sandals. No longer does he have to look back, seeing how God was with him, preparing him in the past. He can go forward, knowing that while Moses has died and the chapter is closed, the true leader will go on. The same leader who lives forever will enable him to take Jericho and all that he sets before him. Do you see how courage, not only in transition, comes? How courage for every chapter of life, whatever you may be facing. The Zaman family is going through tremendous change, and you may be going through change in your life. And you may not see as clearly as you would like to where God is leading for you, leading you. As a church, we're always changing. We should be. Why can we embrace what God calls us to do? Why can we say to the Lord every day, I'm not content with the works you've given to me. Show me the works that you've prepared in advance for me to do. Show me, Lord. Why can we embrace service? Because in a sense, nothing has changed. Moses is God, the God who was in the burning bush, the captain of the host who stood before Joshua, is the God who's come to us in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, and maybe you've been wondering what on earth is going on here, you have seen evidence of how God can work in a heart, not only change it to himself, but take that same life and thrust it into service. We change. History is changing. Many lives are going through changes. But just like the power and just like the word that doesn't change, Jesus is ever the same. So Patrick and Denise and family, remember that calling is a verb. It's not a particular position. You have all you need. Go boldly. We're going to be praying for you. Go with the weakness that you feel. Go with the word in your hearts. Go with your captain fighting for you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray together. We want to say that we love you, Lord. We want to say that we wouldn't have any other captain fighting our battles. We want to say that we are encouraged in the way that you work in the lives of our friends, family, and people around us, but also in our own hearts. We don't want to miss the opportunities. We don't want to miss the moment. We don't want to walk blindly through this world. We want to have eyes that see you at work. We want to see you in the preparation of our own lives for whatever door you're opening for us at this moment. We don't want to be lazy. We don't want to be complacent. We want to be those who are alert. We want to be those who are strategic for you. So thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for all that you have in store for the Zamans and all that you have in store for each one of us. May we come to the end of this day with more love, more joy, more peace in our hearts, because we follow the captain who is fighting for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Lord's voice. church must go to go. In the barren spirits to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. As children of the promise, we will fix our eyes on Him, our souls reward. Shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise.
Father, thank you for those words. Thank you that the Christian life is one that involves faith, and that you call us to great faith for you. Help us to exercise that faith in this week, whatever lies ahead. And may the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all who know Him and love Him, both now and forevermore. Amen. Well, be seated. And I'm going to ask